supposedly of Rukia. And a simple spell to speak with the dead had told them the truth, that the corpse within was not the body of the girl they sought. The spirits of dead Antares and Alpiers had filled them in on the general details of the fight at the Desai encampment, and it had indeed been a fight, one that this child, this little girl named Rukia, had clearly dominated. Soon after, Lady Avalier and her charges had witnessed a taste of that same magic that had destroyed the two Netherese agents, when first they had managed to actually locate Rukia in a scrying pool. That image, and the sky to the east of their position, had flashed brilliantly in the discharge of a summoned burst of lightning.
"She does not fear the lightning," Erica had noted, "because she summons it to her bidding."
"Druidic magic,"
agreed a third woman, Rial, like Erica, barely more than a teenager.
"Like her shape-changing."
Lady Avalier, meticulous as ever, had absorbed it all, trying to make some sense of this unusual child. Lord Ulfbinder, her dear friend Paris, had not exaggerated, she knew in that moment, and she could certainly understand his interest. She was a teacher most of all, and her students exclusively female, like Erica and Rial and the other three she had brought to the plains of Netheril. She wondered what Lord Paris's intentions for this one might be. Wouldn't it be grand for her to add this marvelous little Rukia to her house of magic? Another lightning bolt flashed, and a growling rumble of thunder shook the ground beneath her feet.
"When this child waters her garden, beware,"
the light-hearted Rial remarked with a laugh, and the others joined in, all except for Lady Avalier, who intently watched the girl and her dance through the magic of the scrying pool, wondering what she could teach her, and wondering even more so what she might learn from the child. But first, of course, she would have to catch her. The Year of Splendor's Burning, 1469 DR, Netheril. Some months later, Catty Bree drifted on the hot updrafts in the guise of a great hawk far above the dark brown sands of Netheril. The day was bright and clear, and the world spread wide below her. She saw the snake of a river glistening silvery in the sunlight as it wound its way to a small lake far in the northwest. Straighter north, she saw the distant outline of Shade Enclave, with its dark towers and high walls, an entire city hovering above the plain on an inverted floating mountain of rock. Of all the sights Catty Bree had ever known, from the mysterious tapestry of Menzo Baranzon to the spires of Silvery Moon, none quite matched the one in the distance before her. The place didn't appeal to her sensibilities, but certainly Shade Enclave intrigued her, evoking both curiosity and a sense of unnerving displacement. As magnificent and incredible as the sight might be, Catty Bree didn't dwell on it. The tents of the Desai shone white below her to the west. She could imagine the tribesmen going about their day. She thought of her parents and reminded herself that she was due to meet with them again in just a 10-day. She looked forward to it. Kavita was teaching her several potent spells to manipulate and create fire. The thought couldn't hold. Not up here, free on the updrafts, gliding around as a hawk. The world looked so different to her from this vantage and with her new insights. She looked at the river again, then off to the west, where dark clouds had gathered. She could even see the lowering darkness of heavy rain falling. The perfection of nature's design overwhelmed her, for the simple clockwork of the world was truly a beautiful thing. The rain would fall, the rivers would run, and the rising heat would lift again the moisture into the air, cleansing it that it might fall and nurture the plants and the creatures once more. The whole of Mialiki's cycle flowed through her thoughts as her feathered wings spread wide to lift her on the winds. Life, death, the continuum of time and space, the cycle, and within it, the great wheel of civilization rolling forward so slowly.
she could appreciate more clearly the life she had lived, the role she had played, the gains she and her powerful companions had made for those goodly folk around them. Indeed, hers had been a remarkable life, full of joy and adventure and purpose, but incomplete. That thought brought her to memories of Drizzt. She hadn't seen him in so many years, yet those years had done little to douse her love for him. She remembered the feel of his embrace, the softness of his kiss, the gentle strength of his hands. She, Brunner, and Regis had returned in the hopes of meeting with Drizzt again, after banding together on an appointed night. But it was not a godly ordained night. There were no guarantees, she knew. Would all three survive the 2 decades of their second childhoods to arrive in Icewind Dale? Even if they did, there was no surety that Drizzt would be anywhere near Kelvin's cairn, or that he would even still be alive. The girl recalled her time in Iruladun, her dance and her song. She had pleaded with Mialiki for assurance, but the goddess could not give it. That wasn't how it worked, for the clockwork of the world moved along to its own machinations. The players were not mere puppets of controlling gods. They, Catti Bree, Brunner, and Regis, weren't pawns of Mialiki or under her protection. Neither was Drizzt in any direct sense. If the Netherese found Catti Bree and killed her, then so be it. If an ogre's club crushed Drizzt's skull, then so be it. Mialiki had intervened just one time, in the face of the greater catastrophe of the spell plague and the tumult of the Pantheon. The goddess had offered great gifts to Catti Bree in the magic of her spell scar and in, of course, rebirth itself. And she had given Regis and Brunner a chance as well. But it was all just that, a chance. Bad luck would get them killed. Too much faith in some intervention by the goddess would get them killed. Recklessness would get them killed. Indeed, simple circumstance could get any of them, or all of them, killed. Mialiki had done what she could do by creating Iruladun. But that was a minor thing, after all, Catti Bree saw so clearly from this high vantage point. Where the vastness of the world spread before her, where the brilliant, interweaving clockwork of the world overwhelmed her with its beauty and force. In taking Mialiki's bargain, they were mortal once more, as Drizzt ever had been and so remained, if he even remained alive. With the Iruladun fading to nothingness, the bargain could not